Do what you did yesterday, go on repeat it, 'cause my heart is only on fire. You are the teacher. You take the torch and I'll follow the leader. You be my master and I'll be your fever. You told me your past was taken by thieves, and since then you've been running in search of release. You don't know when it's coming. Well, I don't know either. So you be my master and I'll be your fever. My angels are singing words written for you. The trumpets are telling of your beauty and truth, but you've been working it out for yourself like some overachiever. So just be my master and I'll be your fever. Your nearness is all I need, no more or no less. Your highness, I bow to thee, and to thee this I confess. I was lost in a forest, but now I'm a believer. So you be my master and I'll be your fever. So do what you did yesterday, go on repeat it, 'cause my heart is only on fire.
PTO Junction on CILU Radio, and if you're listening on a Sunday night, we've got another half hour to go. Otherwise, good night and thank you for listening. Or rather, good afternoon. Becca's going to play us out.
Crying. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Joshua, and I'm here with It's Pretty Trivial this week on CALU 102.7 FM. Welcome, everybody. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all the social media, and thank you for tuning in today. Today's episode is going to be an interesting one. I'm going to do it on astronomy and, well, not just astronomy, but little bits of astrology as well. Today's episode is kind of based on me sitting outside looking up at the stars, and I thought, what a great idea for an episode. So sit back, relax, and we'll do some fun stuff for today's show. So Without further ado, let's get started. We're going to start with some of the basics and kind of work our way up. We're going to start in our local solar system with the Earth, the planets, and the Sun, and work up to bigger things like galaxies and galaxy clusters and so on. So, we might as well start with our home planet. We're going to start with, what is the radius of the Earth? Well, according to NASA, the Sun is about 6,371 kilometers in radius, or about 3,963 miles. Again, that's according to NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. Again, Earth's not quite a sphere, but it's close enough. Now, that's the radius of the Earth. But what is the mass of the Earth? Well, turns out that the mass of the Earth is about 5.972 times 10 to the 24 kilograms. It's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight. So, that is our planet. Now that we know a little bit about our planet, we're going to do both the planet's name and then move on to the rest of the solar system. So, let's look at the etymology of the word Earth. Now, from my research, I have found the basic etymology of the name for our planet. However, it's kind of iffy about where exactly it did come from. However, from what I found, it comes from Proto-Germanic and was likely derived from what word? I believe it's Rofel. It's basically like Earth, but in a old, dead, long-forgotten language. And from what I can see, it meant like dirt or soil. Basically what you'd think of when you think of Earth. Now that we know a little bit about our home planet, let's move on to probably our most famous cousin. There's a planet in our solar system that's next to Earth that is almost the same size and the same mass as Earth, and could almost be considered a sister planet. This planet is named after the Greek god Aphrodite, whose Roman name is what? This is the name of the planet. So, for our planet friend, it's roughly 0.9499 the size of Earth and 0.815 as massive. This planet, named after this Roman Greek god, is Venus. It's the closest planet to Earth. So, being the closest planet to Earth, it means that it's one of our closest relatives. Now, knowing that Earth is the third planet, where does Venus fall in the list of how close it is to the Sun? Is it the second planet, the third planet, the fourth planet, or the fifth planet? Turns out it's the second in our solar system. This is an interesting planet to take a look at. This planet deserves a deep dive, as some of this planet may surprise you. This planet is a very interesting one, as it has very much the same very similar geology, very similar climates to Earth, in the sense that it's in kind of the Goldilocks zone, and it could have even at one point had life. However, there's one reason that this planet is so volatile and dangerous. Why is this? Our favorite planet, Venus, actually rotates opposite to most planets. But that's not the interesting thing. Like I said before, it does have a lot in common with Earth. Very diverse terrain, volcanoes and rocky. It's possible that scientists believe it's very possible water did once exist on Venus. However, there's a runaway greenhouse effect on this planet, and its surface temperature is about 900 degrees Fahrenheit, or 465 Celsius, hot enough to melt lead. That atmosphere is said to be sulfuric acid. It doesn't rain water, it rains sulfuric acid. Because of this, this planet is just volatile and dangerous. It's basically an atmosphere of acidic clouds. And it's very unlikely that there's life there. The idea is that very likely, from what I've seen and heard, is that this planet actually at one point was very much like Earth, but it's likely that because it was closer to the sun than Earth was, Earth was in the perfect spot in that Goldilocks zone, but Venus was just slightly too close to the sun. And because of that, that greenhouse effect kind of caused Venus to become, well, Venus. If it weren't for that, it's possible that Venus could have life on it. But again, it's very unlikely with the way it is. Now, there's an interesting fact about Venus. Now, because Venus spins backwards, its sun rises in the west and sets in the east. But not only that, how long is one day on Venus in Earth days? One day on Venus lasts 243 Earth days. That means, that's like saying that over half of a year is how long it would take for one day to pass. Again, because of its very thick atmospheres and just the really interesting properties of Venus and spinning backwards and all that, it's kind of slowed down with its own spin. Still orbits around the sun, but the spin of the planet itself is slowed down, and because of that, it makes the day really long compared to Earth. Because what you have to think about is that a day is how long it takes a planet to rotate on its own axis. A year is how long it takes to go around the sun. Now, most planets do have different years and different days than Earth. Again, each planet is slightly different. However, one interesting thing about Venus is that its day is actually longer than its year. A year in Venus takes 225 days, less than Earth's. Again, you got to remember, Venus is closer to the sun, so it's got less of a radius to go around the sun. Less of a circumference, I guess. So it actually takes, you'll have 1 year pass on Venus before you've had a single day pass. What a really weird thing. Venus is not the closest planet to the sun, however. That title goes to which planet that is named after a very infamous element on the periodic table? Turns out it is Mercury. It is another one of those really interesting planets. Mercury is the smallest of all planets in our solar system and closest to the sun. Compared to our moon, Mercury is only slightly larger than it. From the surface of Mercury, the sun appears more than 3 times as large as it does when viewed from here on Earth. And the sunlight would be as much as 7 times brighter. And despite this, like I said about Venus, it's not the hottest planet in our solar system. Venus is, because of its atmosphere. Now, it is at a distance of about 36 million miles or 58 million kilometers from the sun. Now, I don't know if we'll get to this today, but eventually I want to talk on larger astronomical scales. Now, an important thing to mention is this thing called astronomical units, or AU, which is measured by the distance from the sun to the Earth. Or I believe is it the radius? Yes, is roughly the distance from the Earth to the sun. It's about equal to 150 million kilometers. That's one AU. Now, to put it into perspective, Mercury is about 0.39 AU. Now, like I said before, about Venus, it takes 59 Earth days for Mercury to pass one day. One day on Mercury takes 59 Earth days, and one night cycle on Mercury takes 175.97 Earth days. Mercury completes a full orbit around the sun in just 88 Earth days. Now, Mercury is also a rocky planet. Just like the moon, however, it's very cratered. Now, again, Mercury does not have a very big atmosphere. And because of this, it's very likely it never had life ever on it. And it's pretty interesting about Mercury. It's smallest planet in our solar system and doesn't get much love, but to be honest with you, I don't find it the most interesting planet of all. Now, we've covered Mercury, Venus, and Earth. Before we go the other way, to the other side of Earth, there's one thing between Mercury and the center of our solar system that we haven't covered yet. Now, what it is, well, Sol. Now, Sol is the name for our sun. Our sun itself is called Sol. And our sun is a star. Now, there's many classifications of stars. However, our sun has a very specific one. What is our classification of our sun, and how old is it? Now, our sun is a yellow dwarf, and it's about 4.5 billion years old, which astronomers predict is about halfway through the age of our sun. So our sun, I believe they say, is going to be about 9 billion years old. So, I don't know, sun's not super old, but it's not super young either. Now, our sun is very large compared to Earth. Here's an analogy from NASA's website, and it talks about if the sun were as tall as a typical front door, how big would Earth have to be? Earth would have to be about the size of a nickel if the sun were the size of a typical front door. That's very large. The sun could easily swallow up the entire Earth. Now, not only that, because of its gravitational strength, of course, it's going to contain a lot of matter. Sun is the center of our solar system and makes up about how much percent of the mass of our entire solar system. Turns out it makes up about 99.8% of the mass of this entire solar system. So, Earth, that's less than 0.2% of the entire solar system. And you're not even accounting for any of the gas giants or other planets in the solar system. That's crazy. The sun weighs a lot. Now, again, I don't think we'll get to it today, but I will eventually talk about stars that are way more massive and way crazier than the sun. It will be really interesting. Now, on Earth, we have Aurora Borealis, and the sun plays a part in that. How does the sun play a part in Aurora Borealis, or the Northern Lights? Because of solar winds, what happens is the sun will eject very highly energized gaseous particles. Now, when they reach Earth's atmosphere, they're electrically and magnetically charged, and because of this, will enter Earth's atmosphere. And when entering, will react with the oxygen and the nitrogen and all that in our atmosphere. And because that happens, they, release light. And when that light is released, it causes the beautiful Aurora Borealis, or Australis, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, that we all know and love. That is just the tip of the iceberg about the sun. Again, there is a lot of very interesting things. The sun is a nuclear fusion core. It's about 27 million degrees Fahrenheit, 15 million Celsius inside. Now, I could talk about other things, like, as a star, the sun is a ball of gas, about 92.1% hydrogen and 7.8% helium, and held together by its own gravity. If you know anything about, sun life of stars, is that when that hydrogen runs out, the star dies. But we've talked quite a lot about the sun. So now, I think it's time we move on to our next planet. But before that, take a quick musical break. This next song that we're going to play was released back in, I believe it was about 2015. An alternative group cut and paste their way to a whole album of samples from early days of space race between US and Soviet Union, mixing different pieces of speeches, space noises, satellites, and basically created a spacey album. And it's a pretty interesting video. Now, what is this video? Well, the band is Public Service Broadcasting, and they have many videos, but I think I'm going to play the one on Sputnik. If you don't know what that is, I'm sure it'll explain it a little bit. in this video, but if not, at some point I'm sure we'll cover it. So stay tuned here on CILU 102.7 FM.
This is the beginning of a new era for mankind. The era of man's cosmic existence. You will now hear the voice of the Russian moon. Cherished by men for many centuries, comes true on October the 4th, 1957.
A man-made celestial body for the first time in history overcame terrestrial gravity into space. All men of all nations recognize this as a great achievement. In an age where the race to conquer space has become an all-absorbing factor, satellite bring people closer together in a common understanding. For as the Earth shrinks, the universe stretches forth its beckoning hand in a gesture to all mankind.
We're going to take a quick break and listen to a word from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to continue with some more trivia. So stay tuned here on CILU 102.7 FM.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship, an inclusive spiritual community promoting a compassionate, just, and sustainable world. Find them online at luf.ca, on Facebook, or at 129 South Algoma, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. The Live from the Rock Folk Festival, bringing the spirit of folk and folk music to Red Rock every August. Keep up to date with upcoming happenings and buy tickets online at livefromtherockfolkfestival.com. The Outpost, Lakehead University's pub, full-service restaurant, and live music venue. Find them on Facebook to stay up to date on all the happenings during the school year, like Tanker Tuesdays and Pub Night Thursdays.
Welcome back. You're listening to CILU 102.7 FM. I'm Josh Worth with It's Pretty Trivial. Just a quick reminder to follow us on social media. Before the break, we listened to that song by the Public Service Broadcasting, and it was Sputnik. Now, for those who don't know, Sputnik was the first artificial satellite ever launched into space, and it was launched by the Soviets, I believe. And maybe in another episode we'll look at that more in depth, but I think we should get back into some more trivia with the planets. We'll get into a little bit more trivia. Hopefully we'll get that done, and then maybe listen to a few more songs, and I hope to get the entire solar system done. I'm sorry if I'm a little rushed on this half of the show. I'm just spent a little longer than I would have liked to in the first half talking about four celestial objects, and I still just under halfway done, so I really need to start hurrying up. But there's always another episode if I need to. So, the next is one of everyone's favorite planets. It's the last of the terrestrial planet. It's the second smallest planet in our solar system, and it is the fourth from the sun. It's on the other side of Earth from Venus. It's named after the Roman god of war, or the Greek god Hades of the under... Or sorry, it's not Hades. My mistake. It is named after a mistakenly said it was Hades. It's not. It's Ares. My mistake. It's the god of war. That is what this planet is named after. Now, this is probably one of the most enticing planets other than Earth in our solar system. This is all over pop culture and all over news and media, and it's always being talked about in the world of astronomy. If there's one planet people know about, it's this one. What planet am I talking about? I'm talking about our Martian planet friend, Mars. Now, Mars, of course, I've already said, is the fourth planet. We all know it as the little red planet. Now, it's called red because of the color of its soil and atmosphere. But why is it this color? The bright rust color it's known for is due to iron-rich minerals in its rock and dust that covers its surface. And it's a regolith. And Earth is a kind of regolith as well, although one loaded with organic content. According to NASA, what happens is when the minerals oxidize or rust, it causes the soil to look red. Think of when you look at your car, you see the brownish-reddish tinge of your rusting iron on your car because it's exposed to water and then the air gets to it and rusts it. That is the exact same thing that happens on Mars, except instead of just happening to a small spot, it happens the entire surface of the planet. Now, this planet, it has a cool thin atmosphere, and liquid water likely cannot exist on the Martian surface. Now, features called recurring slope linea may have been spurts of briny water following on the surface, but evidence is disputed. Some argue that hydrogen spotted from orbit in this region may instead indicate briny salts. However, there's many people asking about whether there's water on Mars. We'll get back to that in a second. That the desert planet that's we all know as Mars is only about half the diameter of Earth. But according to this, it has about how much of the same amount of dry land. Turns out, basically, the amount of dry land Earth has is about the same as that of Mars. Because Earth is mostly water, Mars, even though being half the diameter of Earth, is about the same amount of dry land. Now, in the solar system, other planets also have mountains and valley, or ravine canyons. And the red planet has both. What is the largest mountain in the solar system at roughly 17 miles or 27 kilometers high, about three times as tall as Mount Everest? And valleys, or a system of valleys, named after the Mariner 9 probe that discovered it in 1971, that reaches a depth of 6 miles or 10 kilometers and runs east-west for roughly 2,500 miles or 4,000 kilometers, about the fifth of the distance around Mars and close to the width of Australia. The large mountain is Olympus Mons, and the valley is Mariner. Now, it's a very interesting prospect, and I think it's a really cool trivia question. Looking to fool someone? ask them where the largest mountain in the solar system is and the deepest valley, I'm sure no one would guess it would be Mars. Now, considering Mars has those two, it also has the largest volcanoes in the solar system, with Olympus Mons being one of them. The massive volcano, which is about 370 miles, 600 kilometers in diameter, is wide enough to cover the state of New Mexico. And it's basically, it's called a shield volcano, and interestingly enough, its slopes rise gradually like those of the Hawaiian volcanoes. And, yeah, so, however, Mars also has many other kinds of volcanic landforms, from small to enormous. Now, I could go on and on and on about Mars, but it's getting to the point where we are getting pretty deep into it. Quick search of Mars will reveal a million and one things. I swear, I almost know more facts about Mars than our own planet. Quick thing I'd like to mention is that they say there is traces of water on Mars, and some scientists have speculated that it's possible none of the life on Earth started on Earth. People have said it's possible that life started on Mars and was transported to Earth. Again, that's just rumors and theories I've heard, and none of it's really true, but wouldn't that be interesting that we don't actually come from Earth, we come from Mars. Maybe we're all Martians instead. Now, after Mars, you get to the asteroid belt, which is basically just a bunch of asteroids that sit in a weird area between it and it being Mars, and the first gas giant. So the last, between the last terrestrial and the first gas giant, there is an asteroid belt. Now, the next planet we're going to look at is this gas giant. It is the largest in our solar system by far, and unlike Earth, Mars, Mercury, and Venus, it does not have a surface. A terrestrial surface. If you went there, you would not be able to walk on the surface of this planet. You'd basically just sink in forever. It's the location of the longest storm in the solar system. And it's known as a big, its storm is known as a big red spot. This planet is named after the god of the gods, or the leader of the gods, sorry. Its Greek equivalent to what its Roman name is would be Zeus. Now, this storm on this planet has been continuously observed since 1830. So for a couple hundred years at least. And no one quite knows about why it even exists. But I'm sure there's lots who already know what I'm talking about. The planet I'm talking about is our friend Jupiter. Now, Jupiter is the largest planet of all of our planets. Not only that, it also has some pretty interesting surrounding properties, or surrounding celestial bodies, satellites, however you want to put it. This was discovered back in Galilean times, and again, like I've talked about in other episodes, I've talked about its four famous moons. But that's not it. That's not all of it. So, for one, Jupiter has the shortest day in the solar system. Only takes about 10 hours to rotate around itself. But it makes a complete orbit around the sun, or a year, is in about 12 Earth years, 4,333 Earth days. So it takes a dozen years for Jupiter to have 1 year pass. Planets mostly hydrogen and helium, just like our sun, i.e. the gas giant. Has a solid core, but other than that, it's all gas. This is one of the interesting planets for its moons. It has four large moons. But it can almost be looked at as its own miniature solar system. It has how many confirmed moons and how many provisional moons awaiting confirmation of discovery? Moons are named only after they're confirmed. Now, this data I'm getting is off of NASA's own website. It's possible it's outdated, but I'm hoping not. Jupiter has 53 confirmed and 26 provisional moons, the most of any in our solar system. Its famous largest four moons are Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto. And again, they were first observed by Galileo Galilei. And I'm sure we all remembered back a month or two ago when I talked about that one episode about how Galileo had discovered them. Now, this is Jupiter, but it's not the only gas giant in our solar system. We have another one that's just as well known, I'd say, is Jupiter. So this planet is it has a very famous ring. It also has a lot of moons. This planet is named after the Greek god equivalent of this Roman god is Cronus. This planet is Saturn, and it's very well known for its rings. Now, Saturn as a planet, again, is similar in a lot of ways to Jupiter. It's not exactly the same, but it does have some similarities. For one, it's another gas giant. Now, not only this, it's probably one of the prettiest planets, in my opinion. Now, it's very large compared to Earth. Nine Earths would fit side by side. Nine Earths side by side would span almost the entire diameter of Saturn. Not only this, it's very, very far from the Sun. Not only that, Saturn takes about 10.7 hours for a day to pass, and it would take 29 Earth years to orbit the Sun. It's mind-boggling. It's almost three decades. Again, it's a gas giant, so, like Jupiter, doesn't have a surface. And again, mostly hydrogen and helium. Now, again, just like Jupiter, Saturn also has many, many moons. According to NASA's own website, 53 and 29 awaiting confirmation. That's like 80 moons, 82 moons. That's a lot of moons for a planet. Now, interestingly enough, as much as Saturn is a very loved and beloved planet, very few missions have actually visited the planet. Pioneer 11 and Voyagers 1 and 2 flew by, but it wasn't until Cassini orbited Saturn 294 times from 2004 to 2017 was there really that much research done on the planet. So, it was interesting. This is, interestingly enough, probably my favorite planet. I just think it's really cool that it has all these moons and these rings. Pictures are beautiful of this planet. If you've never seen it, I'm sure most people have, but if you never have, I really suggest going and taking a look. Just look it up. There's some beautiful pictures out there of it. We're going to take a quick musical break, and when we come back, cover some more. We're going to cover the last couple planets, and then we're going to end the episode for the week. This next song is a very well-known song. It's about an astronaut who is going on a doomed voyage in space. Often covered. Well, the only person to ever do justice to this masterpiece was a real-life astronaut. Real-life Canadian astronaut. And we've played this song before on this show, but I think I should play it again, talking about space and all. It was, well, Space Oddity by David Bowie, and I think I'm going to do the Chris Hatfield version again here on CILU 102.7 FM.
Control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Lock your Soyuz hatch and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. Detach from station and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirts you wear. But it's time to guide the capsule, if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control.